I'm getting ready for turkey. I'm getting ready for football. I'm getting ready for basketball. It's one of the most fantastic times of the year as everything melds together. It's exciting for multiple reasons, and it's exciting tonight for the South Panthers. They will be hosting Cathedral. The perennial Indianapolis Power comes to town for the second time in 3 years or 4 years. Regional football tonight. Dave will have Chalk Talk with Coach Mo at 6:30 and the kick with John Callahan at 7 p.m. The new and improved South. Some missing pieces, some pieces in, some pieces out. The program, I think this is what's important, the program keeps rolling along. They've gotten hot when they've needed to, and it's translated into their fourth straight sectional championship and an appearance in tonight's regional. This team has really found a way to start winning football games again.
It has. It's playing very well here late in the season, and it's had to do so after losing three All-State players during the course of the season, including a starting quarterback. I think you can understand it maybe if you had lost a player here or a player there, but guys that were very, very productive for their careers, and as I mentioned, a three-year starting quarterback you just don't replace easily, but Jake Johnson has been doing just a fantastic job at the quarterback position. He's only a sophomore, and his production, his decision-making, everything that he's done, Coach Mo says he's a leader to the offense and has really grabbed hold of that right off the bat, so, you know, that situation might be a little lucky for the Panthers, but they're certainly taking advantage of it, and the kid's playing better and better every week.
And you mentioned it's not easy to replace Gavin Yeske, and Jake Johnson has done an unbelievable job, but that really speaks to the program and what they have in place, at least on the offensive side of things, and that's not a knock on Gabe Johnson's defense. I don't want it to sound that way, but when you run the stuff through the middle schools and everything else, this is kind of why you do it, right?
Exactly right. So you got guys who are used to the system, you know, being thrown into that situation aren't going to be shocking. You know, you might end up with different skill sets at those spots, but, you know, the program is the program because you build them up that way, and so everybody's used to it. And they had seen Jake Johnson do all this on the junior varsity level all year long. They had seen him as a freshman and before that, so they knew what the kid could do. What I think you're not entirely sure of is just simply how he's going to react when he goes against that level of competition. But outside of that first game, where it was pretty much all running game outside of one long throw, you know, the offense is very much the same. And, you know, in fact, the game before Jake Johnson had to take over was the Columbus North game. And for the Panthers, that was their worst offensive game of the year. So, you know, at that point, it was almost kind of a low point for the offense anyways. And from at that point forward, Jake Johnson has taken him, and the offense is absolutely on fire right now. And I joked with Coach Mo that it seems at times they can't be stopped, and he wanted to make sure I knew that they could be stopped still. But from you and I and John's point of view, it hasn't happened very often the last 3 weeks.
No, it hasn't. And part of that is we asked Anthony Lindsay after the game against Martinsville about Chris Bamba's health and how that is translated. And it's a brand-new wide receiver. This was not the player we saw a month and a half ago.
No, he's certainly running, come into health. You know, I don't remember if it was a groin or a hamstring, but either way, those are things that take a little while to get better, to get back to full strength. You know, the routes they're running for him are deep routes, so Jake has to be given some extra time for that to develop also. But as we've seen, I mean, Chris, when he's at full strength, he can get behind the defense, and he certainly can make plays on the ball. So he's a special playmaker. He's the one remaining All-Stater they have back from last year. And, you know, he's coming around into his form at a great time. He's got 5 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. And it's the big play capability that they hadn't had when Jake first took over at quarterback. And it's something that you have to have. You have to be balanced. You have to have all those aspects on offense if you're going to go deep into the playoffs.
And those 5 touchdowns have come on, I believe, 9 catches, and I believe 4 of those all 5 are 30 yards or more. I think 4 of them are 50 yards or more. So it's been the home run play, a part of South's offense that they didn't have a lot of that when Bamba was out. So it's opened up many things. It's opened up space, and sophomore running back Maverick Terry has taken advantage of that. We saw him crank out 3 touchdowns, 130 and change at Martinsville, and broke the 1,000-yard plateau. That's been another surprise because there was another player in that position when the season started. We thought we'd be talking about that All-Stater.
Yeah, and Coach Mo, you know, was sure to point out at the chalk talk before the first game of the year that Maverick Terry was going to get some carries this year. They wanted a fresh backfield. And you know, by the end of the season, it hasn't worked out that way. It's been all Maverick Terry, you know, in the lineup at this point in time. But the kid runs hard, and he's a great example. Coach Mo talks a little bit about him in the chalk talk tonight. He's a great example to the team of how to attack every practice, every game, every weight room session, everything he does it at 110%. And all the kids see that. He mentions, you know, everybody wants to block for him. Everybody wants to, you know, to hand him the ball. Everybody wants to be around this kid and play with him because he's going 110% all the time. And, you know, coaches can talk to kids about that, but they got to go out and do it. And this kid does it. And is a great example to everyone out there. And his teammates just absolutely love him.
Dave Novak joins us every Friday morning for our preview of our high school game of the week. And the only, well, they don't get much bigger than this. Cathedral in Bloomington South, Chalk Talk at 6:30. The kick at 7 p.m. And I've put this off as long as I can, but at some point we do have to look at the Irish coming down from Indianapolis. Don't be fooled by their record. That doesn't... Bill Parcells and a lot of Al Davis, you are what your record says you are. We'll talk about this with Eastern Green coming up as well. Not really. That's not always the case because, well, Cathedral's their own little island, their own little, I don't know, Vatican City, whatever you want to call them, principality. They do it a little bit differently up there.
Yeah, no question. The last couple of years, they've started to schedule a lot more out of state. This year, even more so, they scheduled 6 games out of state, and they went 1-5 in those games. Of the 5 losses to out-of-state teams, again, they haven't lost to a state Indiana team. They've all been out-of-state teams they've lost to. Those 5 teams have combined for 6 losses on their schedules. So, you know, they're not just playing, you know, some 1A school in Illinois. They're playing Pickerington, and they're playing St. Xavier's of Louisville and Cincinnati. They're playing St. Ed's up in Cleveland. So those are some phenomenal teams that they've played this year, and they've taken, you know, a couple lumps on them. They played a couple of them tight, but you know, they've taken their losses in some of those games too. But it's a great experience for the kids, and as you mentioned, you know, it's kind of its own thing. It really is.
They don't have a home field. They don't do this. They don't do this. They can kind of recruit. Yeah. I'll say it. I don't care. Come get me.
They absolutely do.
They can bring kids in.
They've got a ton of talent on that team, no question. The quarterback that came in from, I think, New Jersey, a prep school in New Jersey in the offseason. Their running back, one of their 2 running backs, is going to Notre Dame. Their starting center decommitted from Michigan to go to Alabama. So that's a pretty nice choice list right there. If you're a recruit, they're really big up front on offense. They run the ball almost exclusively. Their quarterback only throws about 48% completions. So it's an interesting matchup for the Panthers because, you know, everybody knows that the Panthers' defense is based on speed and quickness and is not the biggest group. Well, they're going up against a huge offensive line with an Alabama recruit at center and a Notre Dame running back in the backfield. How do they stop that? I mean, that is the most obvious question of the day. And, you know, for me, doing the research on this, what's kind of, I guess, disappointing a little bit for the Panthers is that their biggest strength on defense has been their back 4, their secondary.
Interceptions, fumble returns, you got it.
Yeah, and Cathedral just doesn't throw the ball that much, so can you force him into throwing it? If you can,
well, let me ask you this question.
Plays off it.
I think the back 4 tonight will be extra important because if they're going to run any play action pass, they need to have their heads ready to be in the game. If everybody's cheating to stop the run, you know, Rick Shreve's been doing this for 30 years. He knows how people game plan. It's good you have 4 seniors back there because they're going to have to play both sides of it if they do decide to sneak in some passes.
Yeah, it's been a lot of zone defense from the looks of it from the Panthers this year, so they've kind of stayed off of receivers. Are they going to commit the safeties up and go ahead and man up on the outside? With Chase Washington and Quantrell Porter, you got guys who can do that and have been productive all year long. So that's an interesting twist. In the semi-state round last year against a Columbus East team that really ran the ball every bit as good as this Cathedral team does, that they ran a 5-3 defense. They brought the safety in and lined him up at a linebacker position, basically, and really committed to the run, and they still got gashed. So, you know, it's going to be important right off the bat that they tackle really, really well. But as you mentioned, you can't get beat deep. The last thing you can do when you're trying to commit to the offensive line and the running game is then just not pay attention to what's going over your head because that'll kill you in a hurry. I think you don't mind a little bit of the drip, you know, running game going down the field on you, but you don't want to give them a 70-yard touchdown and just blow it up all at once.
Tell me about their defense, Dave, because we know Maverick Terry can run between the tackles. We know he can bounce it outside. Obviously, Jake Johnson, very slippery at quarterback with the keeper, and the passing game of South. Can South's offense move the ball on them where they can – if Cathedral wants to run 12 plays and run it down your throat and score a touchdown, can South recover by running their offense to make it 7-7 and kind of score back and forth with them?
Yeah, it's a great question. They run a 3-3 defense, and we've seen that a couple times out of Indianapolis. That Perry Meridian ran the same kind of scheme. Southport ran the same kind of scheme. And South was able to run the ball a bit. And even saw Bloomington North was able to run the ball on Perry Meridian, similar kind of thing. So, I think they can. The linebackers are really good for Cathedral. They've got a kid going to Toledo. They've got a kid going to Boston College. Stop me if you've heard this already. But they've got talent, certainly at that spot. They're not real big. The offensive line for Cathedral is huge, but the defensive front, they're not real big. But they are talented and they are quick. So, obviously blocking is going to be important. You've got to get a hat on somebody. The interesting thing will be then, too, how does the passing game going? Because South will have to be balanced tonight. You can't do one or the other. Obviously, there's the, how does Jake Johnson, handle the uptick in talent level that he'll be facing also as he gets into some bad spots? Coaches certainly don't think so. I mean, they love him. They have to be able to run the ball a bit. They have to be able to get Maverick Terry going and commit something to the offensive line, or it's going to be a long night up front.
And it's going to be a cold night for everybody. Bundle up. As the sun goes down, it will cool off. Make sure you are layered up, ready to go. Get off that aluminum, folks. It'll, trust me, you'll thank me. Thank me later for it. Chalk Talk at 6:30. Dave and Coach Mo, and then Dave and John with the call tonight, 7 p.m. on the airwaves and at WGCLradio.com. The great story of Eastern Green continues on, and as we mentioned, you're not always what you are, what your record says you are. Eastern Green's is even more different than Cathedral's because, well, technically they haven't lost.
Yeah, and before I leave the Cathedral South game,
yeah, please.
In talking to Coach Mo, what I can't say he's overconfident by any stretch, but there's a little twinkle in their eye. I think they really, really like the way their team is playing. So we don't want to be all doom and gloom about this Cathedral game. It's a really, really good team that they're facing, but they really like how their team's playing right now at the end of the season.
Yeah, home field advantage as well.
Over and over and over, yeah, so... Cinderella story would be great, but, they're playing the right kind of ball to get it done. You mentioned Eastern Green. Yeah, the three losses, that's an ineligibility situation after the fact. They haven't lost on the field this year, and that's kind of the most interesting and most important thing when it's all said and done. Every week now is a new experience for the entire high school and their program. To get to this level, to be going forward, to continue to win, everything's going to be brand new. They get to host tonight, which is another great experience for them, coming off their own sectional championship. But you love these stories. Remember, this wasn't a program 15 years ago, so it's really brand new. It's experiencing this all for the first time themselves, and I love the little Cinderella stories when they start to have their success, and this is turning into a power now. I'm not sure it's a Cinderella anymore.
Is this a house money game tonight for Eastern Green versus Fountain Central?
I think when you get to this level, you're always going to face good teams. So, there's nothing easy at this point. For them, are they okay with where they are now? They won a sectional last year. So, no, they want to get the regional. They sound hungry to get more. That's the great part about it is they've got the success. They've got the team now that can continue to go on talent-wise. They don't have that specter of Linton sitting out there somewhere that's been on them for years. So they're very dialed in from the sounds of it into continuing on in this. And they're a good enough team with a heck of a quarterback and a good defense. And there's no reason that the sectional championship should be all they're shooting for.
And we don't like to put the cart in front of the horse, but we will for broadcast purposes. If the South Panthers were victorious tonight, what's next on the horizon possibly for them?
Well, the opposite regional is Terre Haute North and Columbus East.
I'll tell you who's going to win that game.
Yeah, Terre Haute North is a big underdog. The Panthers have beaten them. They would have to go to Terre Haute if Terre Haute North were to win, but we just don't think that's going to happen. Columbus East is the likely winner. Columbus East would come to Bloomington. We saw that last year. You know, it wasn't Panthers' best performance by any stretch, but down the stretch, I'm not sure they were playing their best ball anyways, but this year they are, so... obviously got a handle tonight, but they'd be able to host a regional. If they win, they'd be able to host a semi-state. So that's a pretty nice road, but a couple pretty good teams they have to beat.
Absolutely, and as you mentioned, at this level, there are no nights off, and I guess unless you're playing Terre Haute North over there. So Columbus East gets a cookie, and well, good for them. South obviously doesn't. A wonderful, wonderful game on the cards tonight. Dress warmly. Tell John to dress warmly, and we'll be tuning in at 6:30. Thanks for your time this morning.
All right, sounds great.